Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Information here presented is inspired by spirit and brought to you by me, your spirit messenger, Nicole Quinn, of course. Just a quick reminder to everyone, if you want to know what's going on with me, everything that I'm doing, that I'm knee-deep in, as I would say, the best way is to become a member of the fan page on Facebook. That's where I post pretty much everything, upcoming shows, new blog entries, my articles on examiner.com, and any special events. So that's the hub. And the email address, well, I should say the URL for that's kind of complicated, so what I'll probably do here is just paste it in the chat room. But if you do have an account on Facebook, you should be able to go and throw in Confessions of the Spirit Messenger and be able to pop that up pretty quick. So post that in the chat room for everybody else. Well, Happy New Year. It's 2011. I can't believe we made it this far. I can remember being a little kid and thinking, oh my God, that's so far in the future. What if it never gets here? I'll probably be 100 when that happens. You know, you're a kid. You have no concept of what's going on. Once you get to be an adult, reality takes on a completely different feel. I, as you can hear, am extremely stuffed up, and I'll probably be like this for like the next 3 weeks, because in San Antonio we have this lovely phenomenon where the juniper trees, they're the only trees that pollinate in the winter. And for me, unfortunately, they're the only trees that severely inhibit my ability to breathe. So I'm going to be sounding pretty stuffed up, at least for today. I don't know how the next couple weeks are going to go, but the show must go on, you know, in the words of Freddie Mercury. So here I am, and I just want to talk a little bit about 2011 today. We're going to talk about psychic experiences. I've been pretty busy for the past few weeks, and I've had my hands in a lot of things. So to start off with, let's just talk about, since it is the future, you know, in a manner of speaking, I want to just share something that happened yesterday. As most of you know, I'm a massage therapist, and being a person who works with energy, because I also do Reiki and reconnective healing, it's really important that I clear out the energy in the room whenever I go and I work on somebody new. So in between clients, I always do that. But initially, I go in and I charge the whole room with Reiki, and I kind of ask for healing presences to be there to help me. And I spray it with like a little bit of a sea salt and water solution. It kind of like, it lifts the energy. I don't know how to explain it, but it does. Salt is a powerful cleanser, and it gets rid of negativity. So I run around the room with the door closed so nobody can see, spray the room. And then I open up to spirit just to see if there's anything that I need to know. And it's mostly, you know, what can I know today that will help me assist with my clients and all that. And this time I saw something radically different than I've ever seen before. It was really crazy. So I looked around the room and I saw all these little sparkles of light. And I was like, wow, this is different. And it was like, I couldn't even explain it. It was just like they were all moving around the room in a circle, and I could see these little bubbles, like different colors, like a little kids blowing bubbles. And I could hear laughing and giggling, and I was like, well, what is this? And I heard them collectively say, you know, that they were thanking me for my work here because what I was doing was making the world ready for them. And I was like, oh my God, these are souls that are about to come here. And it's very, very exciting to me because, you know, we all know the next year is 2012. It's supposed to be this massive shift. It's like a new calendar for the Mayans. And there are going to be a lot of new souls that are going to be born here. And they're going to be doing really, really important work to help us all shift to that place where a lot of the things that go on here are not going to be necessary. You know, we're going to start to become more united as people, as human beings, and to take care of the earth and all that. So I was just really, like, blown away. I was like, that's crazy. Like, I did not expect to hear that today. And, you know, my ego says, yeah, whatever, you know, you're not a movie star, you're not a rock star, you're not doing anything that important. But my soul knows that every soul that's here is important, and that whatever work you do when you're here does have a greater impact that you have no idea of until you cross over. So I wanted to share that with you because it is the future, and we're building the future every single day. So this show is about understanding your own gifts and taking those steps on your path to learning to what to do with them. And it's not just about finding your gifts. It's about figuring out how to work with them and use them to your advantage so that you can, like what I would call, live your life in stereo, because when you've got your ego self and you've got your spirit self and they're working hand in hand, you really can get a whole lot more done because you have access to more. If you close off your spirit side, you kind of lose something. There's some insight there that you're not going to be able to access and integrate into your human life, and vice versa. I mean, you can't live in your spirit all day long because your body is what your body going to do, sit on the couch and eat chips? You got to do something while you're here. You got to do some work. But just because you're not, you know, you have a gift, that doesn't mean you need to quit your job and start doing readings for people either. You know, it doesn't mean that you're always going to know what's going on and you're going to be able to escape all the pitfalls in your life. So the purpose of the show is not to give you the answers, but to help you find them yourself. You don't want to give your power away. You want to take it back. And since this is the new year, maybe your resolution could be whenever you feel yourself getting to that place where you want to say, I can't do this, no matter what it is, take it back and replace it immediately with, I can do this. And just say it really firmly with conviction. Don't sell yourself short. They tell me that all the time. My guides tell me that all the time. I'm really guilty of that. I'm like, oh, I can't do this. And I need that kick in the butt, that spiritual kick in the butt. So let's all turn over a new leaf, you know. It's a new chance at doing something that makes a difference. If you've been thinking about maybe volunteering or doing something that reaches out to your community or, you know, whatever it is that you feel like you haven't had a chance to do, you have a chance today. And even though the calendar says, yes, it's a new year and all that, you really have the chance to do this every day. Any day that you wake up is a new chance for you to do something different and to change things that you think are impossible to change or shift direction. So that's pretty much that. That's my intro for the show. I have been super, super busy. I just came back from a trip. I went up to Boston for the holidays to visit my friends and my family, and I didn't get stuck in the snow. You know, I think there's a little bit of sensationalism that goes on with snow up there, but, you know, I lived there for most of my life, and I can't remember ever fearing for my life because of the snow. I mean, when it comes to the drivers, yeah, you know, really, I don't have any control over that. So you take your life into your hands sometimes when you go out in the snow, but it's really not that big of a deal. And they're prepared up there. They've got the salt and the sand, you know, getting sprayed on the road all night long. So I was okay. Had no trouble at the airport. Everybody else had trouble that was trying to get out on Monday. I got out on Tuesday, so I was like, yeah, because that's usually me. I'm usually flying standby going, oh, my God, am I going to get on the plane? So that was, you know, an experience in and of itself. I was up there on a mission for my grandmother, and I was able to go and do that, which was great, because just because your loved ones are in spirit doesn't mean that they don't want to still be a part of your life, and they don't see what you're doing. So she has had, there have been some issues going on in the family that, you know, she had to weigh in on, and she was like, you know, I want them to know X, Y, and Z. So I went up there, and I had a little project, and I did it. I'm not going to tell everyone what that was. I'm going to wait and do the whole story on my Confessions of a Spirit Messenger website because I want to make sure that I do it justice. It's a lot of explaining, and I don't know. You probably can tell I do a lot better when I'm typing sometimes and I'm writing than I do when I'm trying to explain something. So especially with this beautiful blocked nose that I'm struggling with right now. So hopefully I'm not too painful for everybody to listen to. I've also been taking a class from Colette Baron-Reed called Weight Loss for People Who Feel Too Much. It's been very, very interesting. There's only one session left in the class, and she talks a little bit about people that are empathic. I know we've had a couple of shows where we talked about that. Empathy is a really interesting form of communication. You know, it's literally absorbing and picking up the different emotions, sometimes physical sensations of other people. And if you're not aware of it, you can just always be sick and never know why, and then just start blaming yourself and getting depressed. So that's the roller coaster that ends up getting people on that choo-choo train that heads to weight gain, because one thing leads to another. It's never as simple as I did this, therefore I have gained a lot of weight. It's like, there's a whole pile of things that need to be dealt with. So Colette's out there trying to help people deal with that, because when you are a person who is empathic, a lot of what happens is you reach for things to help dull that, because it is such a powerful experience. It's like you can't shut it off. So I firmly believe that a lot of people that take medication for depression or that medicate themselves with food or alcohol or drugs are feeling people that don't know how to handle the influx of information that their body is just sucking in every single day. So that class, I mean, it's been pretty helpful to me. There's a lot of stuff there that I've kind of already knew to do, things that I was already doing on my own. The biggest thing that I've learned so far is, just like anything else, you can never stop. Like, you have to, it's conscious, a conscious effort every single day. Can't just be like, well, I don't have to think about that today. I'm good. I did it all yesterday. No, because the same crap's going to come up today. And you're not going to be thinking about it, and then you're going to end up right back where you were. So spirit will help you, but spirit can't do it for you. So even though you may get guidance, you still need to do the work yourself. And that's a lot of what that talks about. I also did an intuitive meetup group here in San Antonio. For those of you who may not know, meetup.com, it's like this website where you can go and you can either start a group yourself or you can find a group that's interested in what you're interested in. So this could be anything. You know, this could be like people who are all into Star Trek and you want to find other people in your area that you can talk to and not feel weird. So you find all these, you know, this group of people and you go hang out and you meet. And this group, they actually have met a few times, but I've always been working. And it was like I had some help from the other side, because eventually what I realized was, coming home from my trip, I was going to be coming home in the morning, well, mid-afternoon, I guess, and I was going to be able to make it to that meetup that very night. And I was like, oh, my God, I never can get to this. This is great. So I got a chance to do that, and that was very interesting. In San Antonio, it's very hard to find other people that are into alternative things. It's not quite as an open community as it is in other places. You know, Austin's a little bit more free, and their big motto is keep Austin weird, so it's like a, it's like an advantage for you to be kind of freaky and different up there. Down here, yeah, not so much. You want to blend a little bit. So that was a very good experience for me, and I'm going to continue to go as long as the meetup keeps meeting on a night when I can go. And there's going to be an article I'm going to write about that on examiner.com, because my big mission, one of my resolutions for this year as the psychic and medium examiner, which, you know, it's a local thing for San Antonio. It's not like a national thing. It's not an advice column. Is to bring about some awareness for the different kinds of psychic and medium resources here in San Antonio that if you don't go digging, you will not find. So if you're in the local area and you're interested in what might be available to you, people you can talk to, services you can go to, meetings that happen, this is the place you want to look. So examiner.com, I will put out the link as soon as I get the article up, and I'll also put that on Facebook. So try to get on that Facebook fan page. That's where I put everything. I don't have another funnel for all that stuff. And let's see. Well, the topic of today's show is my first psychic experience. And when I was at this intuitive meetup group, I met so many wonderful people, and all they wanted to do was find a place where they could talk about things and not feel weird. And I can totally appreciate that, because my first psychic experience was when I was pretty young, and too young to know better than to tell people, including the, you know, little people my own age that did not know what I was talking about, and it really bothered me a lot that I was the weird kid. And, of course, that stayed with me because, you know, I stayed weird. I stayed open to spirit. It wasn't like it went away because I said, oh, okay, I just won't talk about it anymore. It's still there. So let me just say hi in the chat room. My mother and my little three-month-old nephew are listening today. He is such a cutie pie. He's not quite as exciting as he could be. He likes to go to sleep every 20 minutes. But I guess when you're a baby, you know, you got to take advantage of that. So hi, Luke, and hi, Mom, and hi, everybody else in the chat room and everyone that's listening. So we're going to talk about my first psychic experience. And, you know, if you have an experience that you want to share, type it up in the chat room. Talk to the other people in there. They're all people that you're going to want to talk to and connect with. They're all open, and that's why they're here. So let's talk about this. So I was 8, and I'm real sensitive today, too, so I don't know what's going on, but my feelers are out there. I don't know if there's other people listening today that are, like, having some issues or, like, really close to the brink of crying for whatever reason. I've got a real strong vibe for that today. But that also happens when I channel my grandmother. She just opens me up, like, unbelievably. So I was 8 years old. My grandmother was dying of cancer, and the big thing is, you know, when I was little, the sun rose and set on her And I had a relationship with her like I never had in my life. And it really wasn't until high school when I took this class on death and dying where we were allowed to kind of talk about stuff like that and explore it that I really delved into it and realized how special this relationship was and that there was never going to be another one like it in this lifetime. It was extremely unique. She and I connected on a level that I cannot possibly begin to explain. It was almost telepathic. She and I always knew whatever she told me was for my own good. You know, sometimes you're around adults and you know they have their own agenda. You know, I'll do this, do that, or they're trying to get you in trouble. My grandmother always looked out for me. So I had this great relationship with her when she got sick. Her biggest fear was that she was going to die by herself. So they brought her a hospital bed, and we had a nurse that came in and took care of her towards the end because she was, you know, wanted to be around her family. I had no idea she wasn't going to get better. I really didn't. And maybe it's because I picked that up from her. And now that I realize how close that relationship was, I really believe that is why I did not know. Because, I mean, I was a smart kid. People around me were talking about things. I did eavesdrop, you know. Wasn't a completely, totally innocent child. But I never really expected that she was not going to get back up out of that bed. So we would go to the North End. That's where my family grew up. And visit with her, and I'd run around and play and get up on the bed with her and spend time with her, and it was like really normal for me. And I think it's because that's the way that she made me feel, like this, everything you're doing is okay, this is good. So one day I decided, you know, we were on our way to my other grandparents' house because my mom was getting ready to do like one of the shifts over there. There was always someone there to take care of her. So I'm sitting in the car, and I look over, and I said, you know, I want to go with you today. And she's like, no, you can't. I could see by the look on her face, there was a lot of stuff going on in her head. And she's like, no, you can't go over there today. You have to go to Nani's house. That was my other grandmother. And I was like, well, I don't want to go there. I want to go with you. And she's like, well, you can't. And I said, well, why? And she said, well, she's on a lot of medication today, you know, she's probably not going to know that you're there. And I was like, oh, that killed me right there. Just like the thought that she wouldn't know I was there. So I let it go. I was like, okay. She said, I'll take you tomorrow. I was like, okay. So go to Nani's house, playing with stuff, you know, making trouble with my two brothers. And I don't remember anything else except for my mom coming back in and telling us, oh, well, Grandma went to heaven today. And I was like, what? I mean, like, I was in shock. My little 8-year-old brain was like, what does that mean? Because that wasn't a good enough explanation for me. And from there, you know, there was the wake and the funeral and all that stuff. And I was lost. Like, I felt, how can I put it? I almost felt like someone had cut me off from a phone call. You know, like I was connected, and even though the other person may not have been talking, I could hear what was going on there. Like we had that kind of a connection. I just felt like the cord got severed. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, now what's going to happen? And people tried to be good with me. They tried to help me, but everybody honestly was so distraught because this woman was such a powerful influence in everybody's life that they didn't know what to do either. So, you know, we did the whole, and I won't cover everything because there's a whole lot of stuff that I do remember. But the important part is this is going to sound out there, but you know, that's what I'm doing, trying to help other people realize that this stuff is real. I was at my grandparents' house again, you know, my Nani and my Nano, and I was sleeping over. I guess, you know, just kind of, I didn't need to be a part of all the other stuff that was going on. It was the night of the funeral and all that. And I remember I was like playing on the floor, and my grandmother and grandfather were like always really big with their plants. Like they have this crazy amount of like plant life that grows there, and nothing else grows in the neighborhood, but it grows in their yard. So there's something going on there. But she always told me, oh, we got to water the plants at night. So she would go out at night and she'd water the plants. So I was like, oh, okay. So I was like looking out the window and watching her water the plants. And she moved to the front of the house. Like I couldn't see everything from the window with the hose. And I looked over a little bit to my left, and I saw like what looked like a little cloud. And I was like, oh. So, you know, being eight, the first thing I did was rub my eyes, like maybe I have like an eye booger or something in there that I'm seeing something white that's not really there. And it was still there. And it was more than that. It was looking like it was taking the form of a person. You know, it started to kind of collapse into a shape, yet it was still very fluid. And I looked up and I was like, I don't know how I know, but I knew that it was my grandmother. And I got really excited. I mean, this must have all taken place in about all of 30 seconds. It was like the most important 30 seconds of my entire life. I sat there and I looked up and I was like, oh my God, it's grandma. And she was like moving her arms. Like I could tell, I didn't see her as a person. I definitely saw her more of as a mist, but I knew it was her. It wasn't necessary for me to see her in like that flesh kind of a, and she was outside and hovering around in the air. I think that was a big part of her communication to me that, yes, she's still here, even though she's gone to heaven. So I got real excited. I was like, oh, grandma, you know, and I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I just saw grandma outside. And I'm sure she was like, what? But then I got off the phone. I think I rushed her off the phone because I can remember just wanting to get back to it. But for some reason, I really needed to tell her. And I went back and she was gone. And I was really mad. I was like, oh. And I think I said out loud, I shouldn't have left the window. So there was that. That was the first incident. I had no clue what was coming after that, but more was coming. Oh, my God. My grandmother was not quiet here. She is not quiet there. So, you know, that was July 8th. And the last couple of weeks of July, we always went to Cape Cod. That was this big tradition of my family. So we all packed up, and even though she wasn't going to be there, you know, that was her favorite place to be. And we weren't going to give up the vacation. So we all went down there and did the usual stuff. You know, the house sleeps like, what is it, 2, 4, 6, like 8 people. You can fit 8 people in that house. So I was like, okay. Well, my grandparents, you know, my grandfather was there, my aunts were there, and my mom, she always did this huge shopping. Hey, let me tell the story over there. You can tell your story if you want to call in. I hear you. I see you over there. My parents are like Italian. We're all Italian, so, you know, it's that way. Anyway. So my mom would always do this huge grocery shopping. I can remember pushing the cart as a little kid and thinking, my God, this thing must weigh like 3 or 4 of me. And we went and we got this like stupid set that was like a wiffle bat with the ball in the top. It was like all one big cardboard package. So she's like, here, you and your brothers can get those. You can play after we eat. So I was like, okay. So get those. My dad's playing. Me and my brothers are all hitting the ball. Then the cottage that we stayed in is surrounded by like these huge trees. And I'm talking huge. I'm talking like, They're like an umbrella over the cottage. They're old, they're beautiful, and I've always loved them. So we're playing with the balls, and of course, the ball gets hit up inside the tree. And I'm like, oh, boy. You know, my ball went up there. Everybody's ball got up there at least once. Well, everyone else's came back down when my dad flung the bat up there to hit the branch, but mine never came back down. I never even saw where it went. So my mom's like, oh, that's okay. Grandma has it. And I just remember, trees going, like I was still a kid, you got to remember, my brain was in a weird different little place than it is now. And I was like, wow, maybe that is where she is, maybe she lives in the trees now. And I went up, you know, we went to bed and everything. The next day we went up, went to the beach, had a grand old time, and then later that night went out to eat. Nobody was in the house. We were all, you know, out doing our thing. My grandfather and my two aunts were out doing whatever, you know, partying or playing poker or whatever it was they were doing at the time. And when we came home from dinner first, I ran upstairs to my room, and I always had this picture of my grandmother. It was like the only picture with only her in it because she hated taking pictures. Well, what a surprise. We all hate taking pictures of my family. But she didn't like it at all. And it was a blurry picture, too, to boot. But it was mine, and I kept it, and I felt like I always wanted to have it with me. So it was on my bureau, and I went upstairs, and I saw a wiffle ball on top of the picture. And I was like, oh, you know, once again, naive little me, I run downstairs and I go, oh, who found my ball? And I had the ball in my hand. And everyone's kind of like, what are you talking about? What do you mean, who found your ball? I said, my ball, it was upstairs. Did somebody find my ball? Did it come out of the tree? And they were like, no, nobody was here. How could somebody have found your ball? And I was like, well, I said, it was upstairs on top of Grandma's picture. And I was like, I heard myself and I was like, oh, and my mom, just her eyes got all big and she was like, I was kidding when I said that. So I went upstairs, I got the picture, I brought it down, put it on the table. I said, it was like this. And I put it down and I put the ball on top of it. My grandfather came home, my aunts came home. Like, we'll talk to them when they get home. Maybe they found it. Oh, okay. Nobody knew what I was talking about. They're all like, no, what do you mean? Nobody found your ball. Nobody was here. And then, you know, we all kind of came to that realization, oh, my God, I don't know how she did that. But she somehow found a way to make it known that she was there. And I don't know, maybe that's why my mom said, maybe grandma caught your ball. Maybe somewhere in her subconscious, my grandmother was already working her, you know, magic, because she has done things that I cannot believe that she's done. It happened to me and I still can't believe it. So that was my first real experience. And for the rest of the week that I was there, or the 2 weeks that we were there, we'd go to the beach and I would hear my name, and I didn't know, it wasn't any particular voice. You know, it was sort of like just a generic Nicole. And I'd be on the beach and I'd look around and I'd be like, nobody's looking at me. It doesn't look like anyone's interested in me. And I'd stop, go back to my sandcastle or whatever. And then I'd hear it again. And I'd be like, what? And everyone would say, what? What are you talking about? And I'm like, did somebody just call me? And they're like, no. And I so wish that I was more awake spiritually then, because I could have appreciated it. I was really grounded in this world to the point where I didn't know what was going on. It was sort of like I didn't understand it. And I didn't have anybody around me that was like all weird and new agey to help me understand it. So that's my first experience. Really just a very unique experience. I've never heard anybody else talk about anything like similar to what happened to me. And it wasn't until, like I said, later in high school, I took this class, believe it or not, it was a semester in a Catholic school called Death and Dying. And everyone thought, wow, man, that's a really depressing class. It's like really morbid. That's for like what today people would consider emos. You know, the kids that dress in black with all the black makeup and everything. But I was like, no, I have to take that class. And I took it. I gravitated toward it. And the teacher, he was not a priest or anything like that. He was a layperson. But he was just a very tall, big guy, but a very kind person. And the people that had come to this particular school from my school, we all kind of got displaced because my high school closed down. So senior year, a whole bunch of us had to go to different schools. And the teachers, I have to say, were very sympathetic. They were wonderful to me, and I consider them to be my friends. And I couldn't have got through all of that without them. So on top of the fact that I was displaced, I didn't have my friends anymore, I lost out on every senior event that all kids love to look forward to, you know, I was still dealing with the loss of my grandmother, and it's 8 years old to, was I about 17? It's like, it was still like it was fresh, like yesterday. So he had us write this paper. He's like, everybody needs to write this paper. And I don't care. He goes, if you've never had anybody close to you die, he goes, I don't care if it was a pet. I don't care if you move to a different house. You need to mourn the loss of your old house. He said, everyone here understands what a loss is. You have to write the paper. So I was like, oh, boy. And I knew that this was going to open up a whole can of worms for me, because as much as I thought about it, I kept it a little bit on the back burner because I was always afraid that the floodgates would just open. So my mom actually had one of those old typewriters, the kind that's like in a suitcase. You know, you open it up and it's like a real typewriter with real ribbon and real keys. And that's what I used to type my paper. I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to it, but it was a long paper. And I wrote all these things in there that I started to actually come into like this realization. As I was writing, I was remembering more things, and it was almost like they were being placed in my head. And I think that's where the automatic writing started for me. I mean, I had been doing it before that, but because this was directly correlated with the experience that I had with my grandmother, I think that's when it finally hit me. So I turned in my paper. Man, I cried my eyes out. That whole weekend was just brutal because I had to relive everything. I had to reopen all those old wounds. And, yeah, even though it was awesome and I saw her and everything, I don't remember if I wrote that in the paper. I want to say that I didn't, because I was still – I got burned by a couple of little kids that were in my school that I said that to, you know, that I didn't realize, you know, this wasn't the thing to say. So I remember we had, like, mass at school, and the teacher was in the back. It happened to be during his period that we needed to do this little mass. And when he came up to the front where I was, and he said, "Hey, I want to see you after mass. Come to the back." And I was like, "Oh no, what did I do? Did I piss off the one teacher that I really like?" You know. So he was dead serious. You know, yeah, it was church, but you know, scared the hell out of me. So I went to the back of the room afterwards. I was like the last person out. And I looked at his face, and he had tears in his eyes. And I could see that there were, like, tears that had been gone down his face. And I just looked at him, and I was in shock. And I was like, "What? Are you okay, you know?" And he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he goes, "You have to know that your grandmother knew that you loved her." And I was, like, speechless, completely speechless. It was, probably one of the most deep moments that I've had in my life where I realized that I could connect to another person on that level, to touch them that deeply with my words. And I knew right then and there I was meant to do some kind of writing. Other teachers were coming to me and saying things like, "Wow, you write really well." And I came from another school, and I figured maybe people here don't write that well. I always had to attribute it to something else. But I realized, you know, I have to write. This is what I have to do. And I really couldn't, I still, to this day, I couldn't believe it. I actually just wrote that teacher an email. He's still at the school. And I thanked him, because in a world where I felt really isolated, he was able to kind of form a little bridge and help me. And I'll never forget that. You know, that whole death and dying class, we talked about pop culture references to death and dying. I was in love with the Doors at the time. I still am. I love the Doors. That whole fascination with, you know, what else is out there. I really believe all that was for a reason. So that's my experience with all that stuff. It was really crazy. And for the first, like I said, 17 or so years of my life, I had no idea how to process it. And other little things would happen too, but I wasn't, you know, really wasn't thinking, you know, this is this. Sometimes when you're not sure, you're telling yourself a story, you know, you're saying, "I want it to be this, so therefore it's this." Well, I can remember, like, I had, like most kids in high school, there was a group of girls. I went to an all-girls school that gave me a lot of problems. And I remember getting dressed for school one morning and just thinking, "Oh, I do not want to go to school. I don't want to go there. I'm tired of these girls. What is their problem? You know, I'm just trying to go to school." And I was like, you know, in my head, "Grandma, you got to help me. You know, this is, I don't want to do this. You know, school is your whole world when you're a kid. That's like your whole world coming to an end." So all of a sudden, this music box went on in my room. And I was like, "Oh, my God." And now this music box I had just bought, like a little Hallmark store. It was the kind that looked like, you know, you could put jewelry or whatever inside of it, but you had to press this button on the bottom of it in order for it to go on. You had to push up. And I hadn't done anything. I was just standing there getting dressed, and it went on by itself. And it played "You Light Up My Life." And that's the reason why I bought it, because that was a song that she really loved. And I was like, my eyes must have been like saucers. I was like, "Oh, my God." I'm pretty sure I told my mom about that, too. I mean, there was all these little things that happened, and here I was, like, this poor woman on the other side trying to knock on my head, you know, "Hello, Nicole, are you in there?" And all this time, I'm like, drooling on myself, not knowing what's going on. It wasn't until I got to college and everything that I started to reach out to other people that were different and learn about other religions and learn about this other stuff. And then it was like, "Oh my God, that's what's been happening to me all this time. It's real." I guess, you know, the whole ego part of you that doesn't want you to look like a fool constantly tells you that you're wrong, or constantly tells you that what's going on is not what you think it is. And it's not, it's supposed to function that way. You know, your ego is meant to help you stay alive. It's meant to keep you safe and to keep you grounded in this world. But your ego is only half of the story. So that's my first experience. It's kind of a long, drawn-out experience, but she's still there. And if it wasn't for people like the woman that I take some classes from now and again, Jackie Wakis, I wouldn't know still what was going on. You know, I really needed somebody to reach out and say, "Hey, let me show you this. This is what it is." And I was like, oh my God, are you serious? She's like, yes, you're not talking to yourself. This is what's going on. And I could, like, that's when I started to really trust it. And when I started to get messages from, like, what we would call spirit guides, like, those guys showed up. All of this stuff started to show up as soon as I was saying, yes, I believe it. They would tell me things, and they would be the right things. And even now, when they tell me something, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know, they're like, have we ever told you anything wrong? Have we ever given you some piece of advice that you've done and it's gone horribly wrong? And I'm like, no. And they're like, then why do you keep fighting us? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just me. I have to be like, you know, everybody else. You have to be in control. I have to make all my own decisions. So that's my whole story. I don't know if anybody has a story they want to share. I know I have a caller on there. I can take it and see what. If you want to share a story, I don't know if the caller is also in the chat room, probably. I can pick that up real quick. I've got like 20 minutes left in the show, so I can guaranteed finish all the way through with a lot of other stories and insights, but I will open this up so I can see what's cooking with you out there. Hold on just a second. This looks like a Skype caller. So, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, so who am I talking to?
My name is Gabriel.
Hi, Gabriel. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. I was actually just listening to the show, but it's funny because I think that I'm on the in that in-between stage that you were before you started to really get messages and stuff. So I think that's kind of funny. I was really... Well, because when I was younger, I believe that I had met God, and I get messages from angels, but they leave it outside, you know, like in the world. And I guess it's my, you know, like you were saying, as soon as you said, I believe and stuff, then you started to receive more messages. Well, I think that I have a couple of issues to work through before I get to that point. I mean, I definitely believe, and I have been really wanting to get those messages directly, but I think that I want my health to be better, so that's kind of like what I was focusing on. But I can relate because I've always felt, I guess, just a little different with that experience. You know, I remember telling everybody because the most important thing that God showed me was the love. You know, He... completely enfolded me in that. I mean, He gave me the message of no matter how unwanted and unneeded that you feel, I need you and I want you. And this was very profound for me as a child. I mean, I was very small. And so I, you know, would tell everybody, I met God. And, you know, of course I was so excited about it. And I thought they would be too, but they were kind of looking at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe one of the things you need to work through is we all have that whole, like, I'm not worthy to get this. Who am I?
Yeah.
Is that one of the things that you kind of feel like every once in a while you're like, well, who am I to get this anyway? Maybe everybody else is right. Maybe I'm just imagining it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I kind of think that maybe not that I'm not worthy. I mean, I guess to a point. But one of the stronger feelings that I get is just, you know, am I sure? Am I not just kind of creating this myself, you know, like manifestations and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, wanting, because there's times, you know, where I'm like, please, you have to give me a sign. You have to let me know that you're here. And they will. And, you know, and I hear people, and also people that I've tried to talk to, some people shut me down and were like, that wasn't God. And, you know, so and even though that left doubt in me, I still, something inside of me told me no. And what was really funny is because after I went and seen somebody and they had told me that, I was like kind of depressed and I was like, God, I mean, you have to tell me that, you know, it was you, you know, I just need to know. And I went to the car wash and I was at the car wash and some guy pulled up in a black car. And he handed me this brochure, and it said, is God real? And then it left. And
that's
then,
awesome.
And then, yeah, and then it listed things on it like God is love, God is this, and God is, you know. And those were kind of the feelings that I had gotten when I was a kid, you know, when I was, you know, in front of him. And so I was like, oh, man, that's completely amazing. And, you know, and when I ask angels for signs, they definitely give them to me. And that's the part of me that is like, is reaching out. You know, I like want it so bad. I want that connection so bad. But, you know.
So have you ever read or seen, like, Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh? You know those books?
Yeah, yeah.
I have haven't read all of them, but I've listened to the first one on tape. And every time I listen to it, it never ceases to amaze me the guts that this guy had to come out and write a book saying, basically, I talked to God. Like, because growing up Catholic, you're just scared to death to say anything like that because, you know, the priests are like all high and mighty and better, and I think we all know now that's not the case. But there's just this sense that you have no right to say something like that. And when I saw that, it was like inspiring to me.
Yeah.
This guy actually went out there and did this and says, and he goes out and speaks to people, and hundreds of people show up to listen. So
yeah.
There's a purpose behind it.
Yeah, even like when I first told you, I always start out like that. I believe that I had met God, because I feel a little, you know, that people don't believe me. But right. I mean, I know this was because he gave me a piece of heaven on earth. See, what he did for me was the love that I felt there, you know, because as a kid I used to ask, why am I here? Why, you know, I felt completely sensitive and was like questioning all of these things. And I would ask him, why am I here? And then, you know, one night he, you know, did this for me, and he, for like a month or 6 weeks or something like that, a certain amount of time, I had this like blanket of love with me as, you know, throughout my day. And I think that was kind of like a gift, like, you know, I'm always with you. And we had those that Footprints poem?
The Little Prince?
No, the Footprints.
Oh, Footprints, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like where he says he's, when you only see that one set of footsteps, it was then that he was carrying you?
Yeah.
You know that poem?
Yep, I do.
Basically saying you're never alone. Well, that's, you know, the message I got. And we had it hanging in our hallway, and I used to look at it, and I would be like, you know, I would ask, like, man, are you really here? Are you really here? And then, you know, that's the feeling I got was,
yep.
I'm always with you, you know? And it's profound, and it changed my life. You know, just thinking about it makes me, like, you know, my tears well up. And then I have this intense urge to talk about it. You know, like, I just feel that it was so amazing. You know, the love.
So,
like,
the place that you're at now, like, you need to know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Because you believe it, and you know that some people are going to, you have to get over the fact that there are going to be people that don't believe you. And that's not your problem, that's their problem, because everybody's coming from their own place with it, and if they've decided in their own head this is what is and this is what isn't, you can't change that. You might be able to influence it to some extent, but that's going to be their decision to let that influence them or not. So the first step is to try to work with, you know, whoever you're dealing with here, that you're working with the archangels, you're working with God, have them ask questions. You can ask questions and they will give you the answer. So if you have the problem that you need to get over, like, how do I stop myself from stopping dead in my tracks every time I feel like someone's not going to believe me, they'll help you work through that. And then from there, once you start to get your confidence, you'll know what to do with it next. You know, maybe you're meant to write, maybe you're meant to speak. You might be a person that's supposed to do, I guess, what they'd call like spiritual coaching or life coaching, where you kind of help other people that are stuck and they don't know what to do. But there's definitely something for you to do with that. But the process to get to that point, it can be long. You just have to have patience with yourself. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's an awesome story.
Yeah. It is. I'm like, it
yeah.
is. I was also
where are you located?
New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico. Are you serious? New Mexico?
Yeah.
What town?
It's 20 minutes south of Albuquerque, Las Lunas.
Oh, wow. That's funny. I have a whole thing going with New Mexico. I keep getting that in my head a lot. They're like, New Mexico. I'm like, what about New Mexico? Yes. And they told me somebody there was waiting for me.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, yeah, your message
You know what else is weird that kind of I noticed when things started getting more amped up, you know, like spiritually, I started having other experiences too, like, and I know this is like totally crazy, but I still question it. I don't know what it was about, but I seen a UFO, and I think I seen one when I was little,
mm-hmm.
but I seen one in 2004, and it was really close to my house, and I always wonder what that was, you know. I asked people, you know, what was that all about? You know, what was, because I got the feeling that this, they were checking me out in a way, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think that they, you know, they knew I was there and were kind of, like, scoping me out, but I don't know if it was good or bad.
Well, New Mexico is known for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the sightings and stuff, the whole Roswell thing, all of that stuff is, you're in, like, a hotbed of activity. So I would say open up and see what you get, because there are beings all over the, you know, this is not the only world there is. There's multiple dimensions, and there are multiple other sides, I guess, if you want to call it that. And energetically speaking, we're all connected, so there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to get communication from any person, any being, anything. If that's something that you're feeling drawn towards, there's a lot of books out there. There's one, I read this book a while ago. It's called Bringers of the Dawn. And it's by Barbara Marciniak. You can find it on Amazon if you put in Bringers of the Dawn. Check that book out and see if it speaks to you, because there's a whole lot of stuff in there that really resonated with me. And it's supposed to be messages brought here by the Pleiadians. There's just so much going on out there. Like, you can't contain it. On this show, I try to just help people open up to that. You're so far beyond that. You need to start looking towards where you're going with it.
Yeah,
see, there's something there.
It
but shoot me an email or something, because I wanna try to wrap the show up here.
Oh yeah, okay.
But if you can shoot me an email.
Okay, it's on the blog talk. Your page, your show page, the home
yep,
page for your show. Okay.
And if you can't find it there, I just posted the link in the room to my blog, and my email is attached to everything, so you should be able to find it. We can continue to kind of talk a little bit more about that, because there's a whole lot of stuff out there, and you're just on the brink of it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but thank you.
Call.
Yeah, thank you for calling. That's pretty awesome. I got my own message there.
Yeah. All right.
All right, thanks, Gabriel.
Have a good New Year.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Okay. So here we are back in the chat room. So not a whole lot going on in the chat room here. Well, that was definitely an interesting call, because I have been getting messages about what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to go, because I really don't feel like Texas is the right place for me. And I kept getting New Mexico. And I'm like, really, New Mexico? And maybe I'm just making this up, you know, just like a lot of other people think when they get a message. And I can remember at least two instances where I was home by myself. Like, when I'm home by myself, I talk out loud, because no one's there to make fun of me. So I just talk out loud instead of talking in my head. And I'm saying, you know what? Maybe the whole New Mexico thing really wasn't anything. Maybe it was just something over and over again to stay there and in my head. And when it comes up, I'll know it. Maybe I'm not supposed to go there. Or maybe it's nothing. And I got into the living room that morning after I had this little chat with my spirit guides. And I popped on to my DVR, and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch a bunch of my DVR stuff. And I went in, there was like this spin-off of Paranormal State. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, but there's like a couple of people from Paranormal State that have tried to start their own show. And the place where they were was in New Mexico, and I was like, oh, my God, I just had this conversation 2 seconds ago. You're not going to tell me that that's a coincidence. Absolutely not. But when you open yourself up, and you ask the questions, it becomes a dialogue. So, I mean, there's a lot out there. I can remember when I started opening up and realizing that I was getting beings that were more than just people who have passed over from this plane of existence. And I was like, you know, oh my God, I don't want to be one of these crazy people that can talk to like other, like UFOs, and like, I don't want to be there. That scares me. But when I started to poke around in the bookstore, I looked around and I started seeing these other books, and I'm thinking, oh my God, other people talk to these guys? Because right after I did Reconnective Healing, which Reconnective Healing, if you haven't read the book, the reconnection, heal yourself, heal others, or heal others, heal yourself, rather, by Eric Pearl. This is sort of like this energy vibration that came to him after doing an axiotonal alignment, which if you don't know what that is, you can look it up too, because that's a whole other story. And he started to get this sense that he wasn't alone. And when he was just in the room with his certain patients as a chiropractor, they were healing and he didn't know what was going on. But one of them could channel and was completely petrified that Eric would take him to the psych ward, because he started to say these words and it was a different voice than his, and Eric was just looking at it and it was telling him basically what was going on, the healing frequencies, what they were, who they were from, and that he should continue to do them. And as soon as the guy finished channeling, he got up and ran and like blocked the phone on the wall because he thought Eric was going to take him to the psych ward. But that's a great book to read too. And nothing that I've seen so far that has come from a place like that has been harmful or, you know, something to be afraid of. All of the stuff that you see on the sci-fi channel, just different kinds of weird alien abduction stuff, like, I don't say none of it's real, because there's always a seed of truth to something, even when we think it's completely made up. But the fear part of it is the part that you want to avoid, because if you do that, you're not going to learn anything else. You're going to block it. You're not going to want to invite anything in. And yes, you have to be careful, because you never know what you're going to invite in if you're too open. So it's really about striking a balance. I mean, I look at everything. I don't deny anything, because I don't know. You know, who am I? I'm not all-knowing. If I pick up a book, if I read a story, I look at it, I draw my own conclusion, and then I let it go. If you read a book like that, it doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't mean you're going to start, like, channeling aliens. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. But the first step, and what I'm here for, like one of the main purposes that I'm here for on this planet, is to open up the dialogue. It's not to tell you, stop believing this, start believing this. It's to tell you, okay, so this is what you believe, but what if? And to present you with possibilities. Because everything that could possibly be out there, if you're focused on one thing, you're going to miss out on something. There's always something else going on. It's just like, it's a good example. You have to always look deeper. Like even in an argument, two people will be arguing. Maybe they're arguing about buying a car. Underneath all of that crap, it's not really about the car. It's about one person feeling like they're always having to do what the other person says. Like you have to dig a little bit deeper and see what else you find. But always be open to it, because just because you ask the question doesn't mean, you know, you have to totally, completely accept the answer. So if you're feeling like you're in a place like that, definitely go and look. And I've had some experiences on that side too, right after the reconnective healing stuff started to happen. I actually experienced a healing at the seminar of my own. And to this day, I still can't completely accept it. I'm still like, did that really happen? So I did that like a year ago, actually. But I might do a show just on that. I've got a couple of friends that are open about talking about the experiences that they've had in terms of the healing experiences from doing reconnective healing. And I think I would like to do a show where I just have a couple of them call in and we talk about that, because healing is something that happens on multiple levels. And when you do something like a Reiki or another kind of energy healing, you may not see a physical difference right away. But a healing takes place on some level. You know, it could be an emotional healing. It could be any kind of healing, anything that is off, anything in your energy field that needs to be repaired. You might not know it. It might not have hit you to the physical point yet, but the healing does take place. So just something to think about if you're interested in healing and it's a new year. Maybe you want to start off with learning something new, maybe getting a new healing modality or going and having one done on you just so that you can experience it. We are on the brink of like this major shift on this planet. So I say welcome it with open arms. Go out there and see what it is that you can do to kind of contribute and start to move us towards a time when we can all be friends with each other and all this fighting and this crap stops. That's another kind of purpose. When I ask about my purpose, that's what I get. And of course, for a long time, I didn't really know what that meant. But as I started to embrace it and just do it instead of asking how and for a plan and have everything laid out so I could pick things I wanted to do and other things I didn't want to do, I started to really see it. You know, as a therapist, I see people from all walks of life, all religions, all ethnic groups, all backgrounds. There's not one person that I can't connect to on some level there, and it's because we're all souls. So that's my part in the world. Are you doing your part? Going out there and recognizing yourself and the God in other people. That's what you want to do. In every person's face, you should be able to see a little bit of God. And once you do that, your life will completely change. It'll never be the same again. Let me see. I don't think I have any more callers. So, nope. I got 4 minutes left in the show. So let's see. What else can I? Well, I'm going to give you the short list for 2011. This is the stuff that I've asked. You know, what am I supposed to be doing in 2011? Where should my teaching go? Because honestly, as much as I know that I am a medium and I can do some of the, you know, contacting your loved ones on the other side, I really feel like I'm supposed to do more with that. Like that's supposed to be integrated into something else, and that what I'm supposed to do is teach. I'm supposed to be teaching. So I'm like, I ask them all the time, how can I teach if I don't know? They're like, don't worry, we'll tell you. And I'm like, oh. So I'm just, you guys are just using me to get your stuff out. Okay, cool. But still working with it, not quite sure where it's going. The big things for 2011 that I'm going to be talking about are relationships, and not just romantic relationships, but all relationships. You know, anything, we come here to experience being separate. When we're in spirit, we know we're all one. We come here to forget that so that we can reconnect. So relationships are going to be a huge part of my agenda. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the most healing things you can do for yourself. So I'm going to talk a lot about forgiveness. Tolerance. Tolerance, not just, you know, like you tolerate a person on a flight because they're annoying and you have to sit next to them for 3 hours. Not that kind of tolerance. The kind of tolerance where you accept that other people are different, but you don't hate them or have ill will towards them because of it. Like, we can all coexist. Nobody has to be threatened by anybody else. Really, you can be connected to people on a deeper level, and tolerance is the term that I'm going to use for that. Family. There's an evolving family unit that's happening, especially in the United States. Families are not what they used to be. You don't have the whole nuclear family anymore, but that doesn't mean that the idea of family is gone. It's just changing. So I want to talk about that. Rising above our differences, that's also part of the tolerance. But also what we're doing here on Earth is meaningful, and it has meaning. And being human is not a waste of time. So that's going to be another huge part of my agenda. So those are the things that I'm going to be working with over the next few weeks. If anyone has topic ideas for shows, definitely shoot me an email. Let me know. Definitely want to do one on healing. I want to talk more about being human and what it means to be human and plugging into our spirit at the same time. That's a lot of what I'm going to talk about anyway. Readings, I'm not really sure if I'm going to do shows that are devoted to readings. It's really hard for me to do that because I get on one course where I'm just sort of channeling information and trying to get the right thing out there to everybody. Switching gears and having to like just tap into one energy and like do the whole reading thing, it's really kind of a hard switch for me. I recently did a couple of readings, and I can really feel the difference of what it's like to channel just like one or two people and try to get messages through, as opposed to channeling these higher beings, these like sentient angelic presences that decide what other people need to hear, and they just basically use me to do it. So let's just hold on to our seats. 2011 has a lot to bring to us. We're going to be surprised. A lot of people are waking up. There's a lot of new souls coming in. They're ready to come. We're helping them come here and be accepted. We're helping change things so that they can come in and do their job. So whatever you do, know that it is important and that one soul can make a difference. It's not quite as black and white. We may not know what the difference is, but one soul, the absence of one soul, does affect the whole. So that's all until next week. I hope you'll join me. And as always, walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Thanks for listening.